Well, if you've ever thought about growing okra or you want to grow some okra, we're talking about that today. Welcome to the Row by Row Gardening Show, the best dadgum gardening show on the internet, where we talk about gardening, a little bit of cooking, and growing your own food. Now sit back and enjoy. Hey folks, welcome to our show. I'm Greg.
I'm Sheila.
And we're all about what? Growing your own food. And we're talking specifically about growing okra today. But gardening is in. And I want y'all to look here. This came off our little homestead right here. Everything that you see here. You know, here we are at the end of April. And we got stuff coming in like crazy.
Every night. We're eating out of the garden.
Eating out of the garden. And pretty flowers out of the garden.
Yeah. It's that time of year. It's starting to just bust open.
Bust open. Yep. So, man, what all we got there? We got squash coming in like crazy.
Yeah.
I planted squash the end of February to have us some early squash and everything worked out well.
Yeah, we got some patty pan in there.
Yep.
Some green griller.
Yep.
I would say my favorite vegetable.
Is.
No, that one I haven't washed.
Well, that was good anyway.
Darn them. We've had these a couple of times. And with these garden peas, it's either hit or miss.
Yep.
But this year, it was on point, wasn't it?
It was.
Our onions are all harvested.
Yep, everything's good. Okay, let's do this right here.
Our beets.
Let's move this out of the way where we can show off some of this stuff individually. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Boom! And now that it's gone out of our way. Talk specifically more about this patty pan here. I know that's an unusual squash for most of y'all, but we've been growing these for what, 3 or 4 or 5 years? Man, we love them. Now, we just don't plant these patty pan. We plant other squash too, and we got some yellow zucchinis we love too. But I always grow a few of those right there. They got a very unique flavor. And then our neighbor, this is their favorite one right here, the green griller.
Yeah, they grow the one.
The one ball in the green griller,
yeah.
Yep. So we got all kinds of things. And we had a wonderful onion
harvest. Onion crop.
Man, it's good. And I know these are a little bit small.
They are, but I'm ready to.
These are out of your garden, by the way.
Yeah, out of a root pouch.
Root pouch.
I'm getting a little impatient.
Yep.
Why don't you taste them?
Well, let's show what they look like inside. Folks, this here is a watermelon radish. Look how beautiful they are inside. They have a very unique flavor, too, as well. But they're a little bit on the small side. They will get
well, actually, I had some bigger, and I cut them up.
Oh, did you? Okay. All right, before we get into that, I want to talk about collards before we get into the tasting.
We had these on the show last week.
We did. Now, folks, here is the Alabama blue. See the blue streak in there? And this is the cabbage collard. Is that correct?
Yeah, yep. I think
here's
so.
The cabbage collard. You see the blue streak is gone. Look very similar. No, that's got the blue in there. This is the blue one as well.
You might not grab.
This is a cabbage collard right here. This one doesn't have any blue streaks since. I know you might not be able to tell it, but that's got a little blue in there. These are a couple heirloom varieties that we may add for this fall here. You know, I've been impressed with them. And believe it or not, there is a different taste of them. We tasted that last week on the show there, and very unique.
Yeah.
They've grown off really well.
I cooked some of those again last night. I think I do prefer the blue.
Alabama blues.
Yeah, the blues.
So we're eating out of the garden, squash just about every night. I love squash.
Mm-hmm. Garden peas.
When they first come in, I get tired of them after a while. Yeah. But tell them how you cooked squash the night it was so good.
It's just really easy. I just took a couple of these onions and sauteed them in some bacon grease.
Lard or bacon? Yeah.
Bacon grease. And then I cut the squash up. I kind of quartered them, but left them big. Because if you cut them up too small, they get mushy.
Mm-hmm.
And then just simmered them, like browned them. I don't know. They end up different every time I cook them, but that was good.
One of the main things about squash is cooking them fresh. Right out of the garden makes a big difference. They're a lot more tender. The ones that sit in the grocery store for a few days or weeks seem to get a little tougher to me. When they come right out of the garden and you go fry them, there's a lot more flavorful and a lot better texture to them, to me, personally.
And don't stir them too much. That's what makes them mushy.
Just let them cook down.
Cook down.
Also, we've got some raw things here. We like to eat squash raw.
Yeah.
Put it in that ranch dressing. Now, these are some of our, I believe that's the Delta squash.
Yeah, I like it raw.
The English peas. We eat those in salads a lot.
Yeah, I'm just gonna grab me some of these as a snack.
And you know,
what?
To me, I think this is the most flavorful radish that they are.
It's got
more flavor. It's got a unique flavor to it to me.
It's got a beginning flavor and an end.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really sweet at the beginning, but it's not hot like a lot of radishes. It doesn't have that bite. It's just really sweet and so pretty
mm-hmm.
on salads.
Yeah, I think everybody should be growing some radishes. Radishes are easy to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. All right, we got a mess here with all our goodness still. Let's try to move some of it out of the way because we're going to get into some okra.
Okra.
But before we do.
Is it okra or okra?
Okra. Okra is one of those plants that loves hot weather. And it can take a fair amount of dry weather, but loves hot weather. And very few of our vegetables that we grow just actually thrive in hot, hot weather. Okra is one of them. Another one is sweet potatoes. Now, these look a little rough, but I did this on purpose, folks. We are selling
sweet. Look at those dead leaves.
They're brown leaves. I wouldn't say they're dead leaves.
Brown, black.
These are sweet potato slips right here. And we're selling sweet potato slips on our website here. And these right here are 10 days old. Actually, they're 11 days old. They're 11 days old in the way we ship them right there. So some of our customers have been getting sweet potato plants and complaining about them being wilted. Now, these are 10 days old, so you would receive yours way before 10 days there. Most people receive them in 2 to 3 days. I just want to do a little educational thing for you guys that's never planted sweet potatoes before. This is normal. See how they look kind of ragged, and you think, oh my goodness, it's not going to be good. Wrap them in the sphagnum moss right here. Do that to keep the roots dry. We want to keep them dry.
Long dry, not wet.
Purpose. And then some people say, well, there's no roots on there. That's okay. All that right in there, and there's well more than 15 plants there, will be fine. If you put them in the ground, I can promise you they'll be fine. That right there that you looks like is dead, it will come back out in no time. So even though a sweet potato plant's like it's had a rough life, they are very resilient. And that right there, I promise you, will be fine. You could leave these sitting out another 5 days, and they'd still be fine.
Don't put them in water when you get them.
You can, but we normally don't recommend that. I mean, you can if you have to, but I normally don't recommend putting them in water.
So what if you needed to wait a couple of days to plant them?
I would just put them in a cool, dry spot. And maybe unwrap them when they get a little air to them.
Mm-hmm.
But that'd be fine. Just lie right there.
So if all the leaves were brown and all you had was a green slip.
That's still going to come back out. Even if you don't have any roots, you'll put roots out of those nodes right there. So yeah, those right there will be fine.
So each node will put out?
If it's covered in soil, yes ma'am, it will.
So cover them in dirt and you're good.
Yeah, just plant them and put a little water to them, get them in some soil and you'll be fine. Don't fret the bad looking slips. That's normal for potato slips. So as we cover that, let's move on. Boom. And if you hadn't ordered your slips, we've got them on our website and you can order them. We're shipping every Monday and Tuesday of every week, maybe Wednesdays too if it's close by. So,
and once your order gets shipped, they're being shipped down to Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
It comes with planting instructions. We also have on Hoss University sweet potato growing guide.
Right.
Once it gets shipped, you will get a tracking number.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
So if you ordered something along with your sweet potato slips, you got a tracking number for the other items, and you will get a separate one for your sweet potato slips.
So sweet potatoes love the heat, just like okra does, and that's what we're talking about today. So if you've never planted okra before, you're thinking about planting okra, or you've planted okra before, there's probably something you can pull from today's show, because we're talking about everything about growing okra, and they are some tips and tricks to growing okra.
You know, one of the most common questions or calls we get about okra this time of year is, I have bad seeds.
Mm-hmm.
You sent me bad seeds.
Yep.
My okra has not germinated.
Right.
it will not germinate if the soil temp is not 80 to 85?
Well, close to that. I'd say 78 to 80. I normally, and we have different times of the year, I mean different springs warm up quicker than others. I would say this about here in Zone 8 where we live now. It's just now getting to the time that you want direct seed okra.
Right.
Now what I do is I plant mine in a greenhouse in a 162 tray and I grow mine out for my first crop. So I planted these about a month ago. It takes about 4 weeks to grow an okra to a plant like this right here in the greenhouse in the seed starting tray.
Now it's ready.
So I planted these in my garden 2 days ago. You can see the root structure there, which is fine. This one right here is ready to go into the ground. Now, transplanting okra, unlike tomatoes, you want to transplant it at soil level, which is right here. You know, a tomato, we like to plant those deep. Not okra, you want to plant exactly at soil level right there when you transplant it to ground. Now, if you want to direct seed your okra, you're going to have to wait later on till it warms up, and that's around right now, zone 8. Now, if you're further north, I think you probably still got 2 weeks, if not 4 weeks, if you're in zone 6. Okra just will not germinate in those cooler soils. They just won't do it.
So you got to plant it at the right time.
You got to plant it once that soil warms up enough. Now, here's the strange thing. You can plant direct seed okra all during the summertime, and it'll come up fine. Actually, it'll come up better then than it will now. And I normally do that with my okra. I will direct seed some later on because I particularly have a problem with root knot nematodes in my okra, so they will kind of work their way out. They don't have a real long lifespan in my garden, so I have to keep another plant coming on there.
Mm-hmm.
Once these things get on old, they start having nematode problems with them. And they start going on decline. That's when my another crop comes on. It takes about three plants for us to have okra all summer long.
Right. And I'll start okra in a root pouch.
Mm-hmm.
Green fingers is one of the varieties that I grow. Only 7 or 8 plants in a 45.
What size root pouch did you
45 gallon okay. root pouch. And it was enough for cooking an okra every couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
And also in containers, it does well in a raised bed garden, even the variety like jambalaya.
Yeah, if you're going to plant raised bed, I would definitely recommend two varieties, jambalaya or little fingers. Little fingers is
green fingers.
Excuse me.
You always call it little fingers.
Green fingers is going to get probably, what's the height you got on your green fingers? Soil to the top. Maybe 3 foot.
Maybe, yeah.
3 foot at most. Jambalaya's going to get a little taller than that.
Jambalaya's going to get a lot taller.
Jambalaya's gonna get no more than about 5 to 6 feet.
Yeah, there. So a lower raised bed.
Yep.
But in the root pouch, I would definitely say the green fingers.
Mm-hmm. Now, when I said I grow this out in 4 weeks, I did grow it out in 4 weeks, but I normally recommend anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks. If some people it may take 6 weeks to grow it, I really baby these things long and I made them pop. So 4 to 6 weeks.
So for those up north, they could plant them in the greenhouse now.
They can plant them in the greenhouse now. And have them ready to go. Now, the jambalaya variety, and we're going to talk about varieties in just a minute, but jambalaya does start producing at least 2 weeks before most other varieties.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got a short growing season, you definitely want to go with either the green fingers or the jambalaya instead of some of the old heirloom varieties. The old heirloom varieties may work fine when we have those longer growing seasons, but up north where you guys are kind of pushed for time, and okra loves that hot, hot weather. I think you'd be better off to go with those two varieties.
So we talk about growing at the right time. Let's talk about the right variety.
Mm-hmm.
So you have heirloom and you have hybrid.
Yep. So the first one we're going to talk about here is the jambalaya, which is the hybrid.
So what's the difference in the heirloom and the hybrid?
The hybrid is a cross between two parent plants, and an open pollinated or an heirloom, which could be both, is a plant you can save the seed from and it will come back true to
and
variety.
The heirloom has not been crossbred.
Mm-mm.
Ever.
Correct.
It could be like 40 to 50 years old.
Right.
True to.
Yep.
Okay.
True to variety there. This jambalaya right here is one of the most sought after varieties in the commercial industry because it does produce about 2 weeks before any rest of them. So it's a farmer can get this variety right here to market about 2 weeks quicker than he can any of the other varieties. It is highly, highly prolific. This jambalaya here makes like crazy. We got a picture here. We're going to shoot, blow up there for you. You want to cut this variety right here short. So if you're wanting a long okra, like some of you guys down in Cajun country want, this is not the variety for you. If you do not want to produce and cut okra, do not plant jambalaya, because it will outproduce most of those varieties 2 to 1. Now, another good thing about it is it doesn't get real tall, as we talked about earlier. About 5 to 6 feet is going to be maximum on the height it gets, which is really good for later in the year, so you don't have to get a stepladder to harvest your okra. The okra seems to be a little darker, greener to me than some of the other varieties, but it is highly productive. 2 weeks earlier than the rest of them, jambalaya okra.
And it's great for pickling, for frying, for boiling. Pretty much all around.
It's a good all-around variety. I think there's one variety better for pickling, and I'll cover that later on, but that is a good all. This is the one I got planted in my garden this year. Mm-hmm. All right. The next one we're going to talk about is Clemson Spineless. Now, Clemson Spineless, you all know, is probably the one out there that's the most popular. It's been around for a long time. It's an open pollinated variety, so you can save your seeds from year to year. It is, the seeds are cheaper probably than any of the rest of them because it is the most popular, and that's the ones we see out there all the time. Here again, this jambalaya will outproduce that Clemson Spineless 2 to 1. Clemson Spineless seems to get a little higher than I particularly like. I used to grow it a long time ago. I ain't grown it in several years because I think there are better choices out
there. Is that the kind that don't eat you as much when you pick it?
Yeah, supposedly. Now, okra doesn't bother me. Does it bother you?
No.
Doesn't bother me. Some people it does. It doesn't bother us. So there we have Clemson Spineless. If you're looking for a cheap alternative to okra, Clemson Spineless is going to be the easiest seed to find. You can find it just about anywhere, and it's going to be the cheapest one out there. Now, next one is called Green Fingers, and you talked about Green Fingers. Now, this is a newer variety.
It's bred for the smaller containers because it only gets about 3 feet tall. Mm-hmm. The pods are 3 to 4 inches, and it's a little more forgiving if you let it go. You can pick it about once every 3 to 4 days.
Yeah, I hate to keep going back to jambalaya, but jambalaya is not very forgiving when it gets big. It gets very woody. But the green fingers is, if you have to go out of town for a day or two and it gets a little bit longer, it does stay a little bit tender. It is a hybrid.
Right.
So you can't save your seeds.
You can't save your seeds.
But there's no doubt about it, folks. If you got a small area where you can only grow a container of raised beds, green fingers is definitely one you need to look at. All right. Star of David. The Star of David is an old heirloom. I've grown this a couple of different years. It's a very small okra there. It doesn't get very big at all. It's very tall. And when you cut it, it actually looks like a star.
Star, yeah.
And there, it's an old variety right there. It's very, I would not grow it as my primary okra. Now, if you want to grow it, some of it along with some more of your okra, I think it'll be fine. It's not, you're not going to get a lot of off of it because the pods are so short there. So if we got anybody out that's grown Star of David for a number of years and there's something I'm missing there on this, by all means, comment and let me know. I think it's a decent one to grow. It's a very interesting one, but it's not my primary okra.
Cowhorn okra.
Yeah, now the folks, our friends over there in Louisiana love that cowhorn okra because
they can let it grow.
It's big. You might have seen some YouTube videos, whatever, where people had okra this long and they couldn't adapt for that jambalaya. That is that cowhorn variety, which is an old heirloom variety that gets very big, and they normally don't pick it till it gets big, and they chop it up. Stays tender. It's probably not as productive as some of the other varieties, but there again, you're getting a lot more off of it when you get those long pods there. That's kind of weird. In our neck of the woods where we live, we don't like long okra. Mm-hmm. We like short okra. Mm-hmm. But folks more out in Louisiana love those long pods. So it's kind of a thing that's representative to where, how you was raised or where you live at, of the kind of okra that you like.
Emerald green velvet okra.
Yeah, that's another one of those that I don't think gets as long as that cowhorn does, but it's another one that they love to get long, cut up, and put in those.
They use that in a lot of Cajun dishes.
Yeah, a lot of jambalaya.
Mm-hmm. And those pods have ribs, kind of pronounced ribs on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a while since I've grown that one there, yeah. That is one of those longer varieties. So if you're looking for those longer varieties of okras.
Well, it stays tender at the longer lengths.
Yeah, if you're looking for those longer varieties, you definitely want to look at emerald green velvet or the cowhorn okra.
Okay.
And our neck of the woods here in Georgia, we don't roll all of this, but y'all guys do Chinese okra.
Now, Carrie, our marketing director, she grew this last year.
She did, and she really didn't know what she was doing, but she did. She didn't eat any of it, I don't think. She was just amazed at how it grew.
Yeah, she was just amazed.
Oh, I love to tell this story. So I found this variety right here for my very first time in the hills of Tennessee. An older lady up there was growing it, and we got out of the truck and went over and talked to them, and they were up on a ladder picking this okra. And I said, what in the world is that? And she said, that was vine okra.
And vine, I said, V-I-N-E.
Vine okra. And I said, really? You know, there I was. Who was I to question this lady that was 80 years old and garden all her life? I was, I wanted to tell her it wasn't okra, a true okra, but I didn't. Come to find out, it is a type gourd. They grow a lot up in the hills. They call it vine okra.
Like a loofah.
But it is a type of loofah. But she cooked some for us that night. And I was really amazed at that point that you could tell very little difference in the taste of it. It tastes exactly like okra.
And we grew some and I cooked it.
Oh, yeah. We've grown it a few times.
Yeah.
But it grows like crazy. It's a vine, of course, and it grows.
So it's pretty on a trellis.
Yeah.
Or an arbor. Very pretty.
Yeah. But it's not a true okra. It is a true gourd. But you eat it when it's small. And it's a different species than the regular loofah that we grow as a sponge that we make sponges out of that you bathe with. This is a different type of that, but it will get big, but you eat it when it's small, when it's probably about this long, 7 inches long, cut it up there. It's unique. If you've never grown it before, hey, put it in a place that maybe something else has a hard time growing, because these gourds will grow about anywhere, especially if you got a fence or something like that. Just let it go.
Let it go.
And you'll have vine okra.
Now our red okra. Are some novelty okra.
Yep. And we've grown quite a few of these. Jing Orange, which is an Asian variety, an old Asian variety. We've grown this for a couple of years. And it's pretty decent. I mean, it's pretty productive. Not as productive as jambalaya, but it has that nice red mottling color to it.
And when you cook it, it's not red. It
turns green.
It turns green.
Yep.
So
yeah, it is. It originated or was found in Asia. So it is a pretty variety. It's done pretty well for us. And the other one we got, which is red burgundy, which is a more darker red all over. Red burgundy has also been selected as the All-American selection winner.
It was developed by Clemson University.
Yep. Now, I mentioned earlier that I knew a variety that I thought was ideal for pickling. My pick of the varieties for pickling okra is the red burgundy.
Really?
Yeah, it seems to be more conducive. I don't think we do.
I've got some, but it's not.
That may be the red burgundy.
That's actually garlic dill.
But it seems to be, grows off in a more uniform size for pickling. So for pickling okra, you want one about this length right here, instead of like the jambalaya, most of the time we cut it closer. In my opinion, I think red burgundy is probably the best pickle variety there, simply because of its uniform pod size that does as well for jars and stuff like that. It's very productive, not as productive as jambalaya, but it's very productive. It's a nice red stalk. It's a pretty variety to grow. It has that red stalk in there, and the okra is red, but it turns green when you cook it. So after you cook it, you can't tell.
So we talked about planting it at the right time, planting the variety that's right for you. Let's talk about how to take care of it. What do we do about pests?
So there's a few pests that jump on okra really bad. One of them is stink bugs. And you ever see these little knots that gets on your okra after they start coming in? That stink bug damage, where the stink bug has stung or bit that plant. That we don't like. We want to keep that to a minimum if possible. So you may have to move to something. You can hit it with neem or spinosad early on, but if those stink bugs get to adult stage, you're going to have to move to something like Bug Buster 2 to control them, because they're hard-bodied and they're hard to control once they get to that adult stage. Stink bugs, I would say, is, well, there's two pests. It's two primary pests to okra, stink bugs and aphids.
And if you see ants?
If you see ants, you got aphids. A lot of people say, well, I got to kill these ants there on my okra. Well, the ants isn't the problem. The ants are guarding the aphids because the aphids is their food source. So if you got ants, you know you got an aphid problem. Look underneath the leaf or look on those tender stems. I promise you, you're going to see aphids. The good thing about aphids is they're easy to control. Neem, spinosad, horticulture oil, anything like that will kill that soft-bodied insect, which is an aphid.
Okay. What about root knot nematodes?
We got knot nematodes.
Picture of this to throw up.
Yeah, it's classified as a disease. It's the way the entomology is classified. But a root knot nematodes is actually not an insect, but it is a soil organism that causes these root problems, these knots all over your okra. So when your okra gets mature and you start seeing them become non-productive, or you'll see a few of the plants
turn yellow,
start dying in there. I promise you, you probably got root knot nematodes. You can counteract that by maybe doing a biofumigate application or grow a Kodiak mustard earlier in the year and hair it in. That will help with the nematode problem some. Good rotation. I don't like to plant okra back in the same spot for at least 3 years. Mm-hmm. And you got to kind of starve those nematodes out. And then the other thing I do is just keep planting me some more.
Succession plant.
I know I'm going to have root knot nematodes. I just want to manage that problem.
Okay. What about water?
So I always plant on drip irrigation. And the reason I do that is because I want to get the most out of my okra I can. But I will tell you guys this. If you don't have drip irrigation or you don't have a way to water your plants like you should, okra will withstand drought. Now what it'll do is it'll just sit there and it will not produce, but the plant will actually stay alive. When you get a rain or when it gets some water, it will produce again. With the drip irrigation, we can keep that water pumped to that plant so we can get a good harvest off of it all the time. If you don't have irrigation on it, it is going to be a little bit sporadic according to how much rainfall it gets.
You really don't want to overhead water it because of all the water on the leaves.
Yeah, that's the drip irrigation where it's good for that.
Yeah, it introduces more disease and pest problems.
Very drought resistant plant. That's one of the good things I like about it. And that's the good thing about planting in the summertime, because sometimes our rain just quits and we got our okra there. We can still have plenty of okra. My mother, she used to love okra.
She did.
She'd make me plant her too. She'd tell me every spring how much okra she wanted me to plant her. And she would come over here every morning at daylight and she would cut that okra and she would cook it for herself or she would give it away. She got the most thrill out of giving okra away.
Yeah, and cutting it. She loved to be out in the garden.
She loved to cut okra.
Now, it bothered her. She had her hat and her gloves.
She was one of them kind of broke out. She'd wear them old dishwashing gloves. You know what I'm talking about? They went up to your elbow. But I could look out there at about 7 o'clock every morning. I'd see my mother out there in the garden. I do miss that. Yeah. She would get out there and she would always say, plant me 4 rows this year or plant me 2 rows, according to how she felt at the time, how many rows of okra she wanted. But during her retirement years, she dearly enjoyed the cutting that okra.
Yeah, she did. So let's talk about fertilization.
Yep. So I would say they're medium feeders. They're not heavy, heavy feeders, okra. But they do take fertilization. Pre-plant, I would say, put you in some good compost, manures, or complete organic fertilizer there. If you got them on drip tape, you want to shoot you some 20-20-20 through there every now and then with some micro boost. If you're doing a side dressing, I would use something like our Hoss All-in-One or 10-10-10, a good balanced fertilizer. And then you can alternate some type of nitrogen, such as calcium nitrate, on them as well there too. They're not heavy, heavy nitrogen feeders like corn is. But you should probably still need to supplement them with just a little bit of nitrogen.
So about every 14 days?
If you're doing drip irrigation, if you're doing a granular application, you can probably stretch it out more than that.
Okay. Let's talk about harvesting.
Yep.
And we have a little tool, and I meant to bring one, the little knife that fits on your hand.
Yep.
We'll throw a picture of it up.
Yep, a lot of people use that. Now,
harvesting, what's it called?
It
fits on your finger like a ring.
Ring knife is what I call it. Anyway, so There's another benefit of having drip irrigation on there. If you got drip irrigation on there and the plant is not drought stressed, the okra will snap.
Yeah.
And you can go through there and snap it off. You don't even need to cut it. If it gets a little bit drought stressed, it gets a little rubber and you have to cut it.
Or too big,
you got to cut it. So I always keep a knife on me. But you can walk through there and snap if you catch it young and you got your plants plenty of water there. They'll snap it. You can make your way through there. Now, we like to cut our okra about right here. Can y'all see that right there? Let me put that in perspective on this ink pen right here. That's the way we like to cut our okra, about right there. Now, if it gets a little bit away from you,
about 2 to 3 inches,
we'll cut it again. If it gets more than that, we discard and lay it on the ground.
We just chop and drop.
Chop and drop. That's the way we cut our okra. You guys are growing the cow horn and the velvet green, a little different story. Let it get on up that bigger. But even with the red burgundy and the ginger orange, green fingers and all that, we like to cut them at the most about, 4 inches?
Mm-hmm. So. And when you cut it, don't wash it.
Nope.
Right away. That'll make it get slimy. So just stick it in your fridge. You can't really leave it out on the counter, but just put it in your fridge. It'll last up a week and a half. Mm-hmm.
When you wash it, it just does good.
Yeah, you don't want to wash it till right before you cook it. Mm-hmm. Or if you're going to pickle it or do anything like that with it.
And for you guys out there that are sensitive skin, you may want to wear some gloves. It doesn't bother us, but you may want to wear some gloves. I've never really had it bother me.
It seems like it did when I was little.
Maybe you got immune to it.
Maybe I did.
Yep.
Maybe I just didn't like doing it.
So let's talk about different ways you can cook okra. So we got pickled okra that a lot of people love. I've become a fan of it the last few years. We got boiled okra. Now you either love boiled okra or you don't.
I like boiled okra, I say in a soup. Prepare to get you that. Oh, you got it.
So my brother is 4 years older than me and he always to this day loves boiled okra. I'm not a fan of boiled okra. But he loves it right. Now this is good to me on a cracker.
That one's a little long there.
My favorite way of eating okra is fried. I love fried okra there. We've got boiled okra, fried okra, sauteed okra. So some people put the whole stalk right there in a pan with some olive oil and some seasoning and just saute it. Also, you've got...
I've done it in the microwave. I've done it on the grill whole. It works, does really well.
And we do it in the oven sometimes. Mm-hmm. So we'll cut it in half, put it in the oven with some olive oil, some seasoning on it. I love okra in several different ways, boiled okra being my least favorite.
Yeah. And it's a
it's a texture thing. It gets real slimy. Some people love it, some people don't. I'm going to go with the don't on the boiled okra. All right, so there you have it, folks. Okra. I think everybody should be growing it. There's no excuse. So whether you got a small area or whether you got a larger area, grow it and look here. Give some of it away to people that may not have the know-how or the area to grow okra. And I think you can make some good friends that way. Share with some of your family. All right.
Let's talk about garden spotlight.
Yep.
This is Holly Jackson from Interlachen, Florida, Zone 9.
That sounds good to me.
She has some interesting trellises going on there.
That is kind of weird here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She grows corn, potatoes, tomatoes, flowers, and medicinal herbs.
Yeah, I believe this is mullein here. Is that correct? Is it comfrey?
I thought that might be comfrey.
It may be. Anyhow, it's very healthy looking plants there. And look at her potatoes. Man.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yep.
Thank you, Holly.
Yep, look at Holly is also growing some flowers there.
Yeah, I think that might be hollyhock.
That's what I was thinking too. Hollyhock.
Yeah.
Holly's growing some hollyhocks. Thank you, Holly, for sending that in. Looks like you got it growing on. Got another picture of a corn. Look at that corn. Looks good on it.
Yeah.
It's a little bit taller than mine is. Zone 9, you guys are a little bit ahead of us. Thank you, Holly, for sending that in. All right. We got the old goat drawing. Folks, if you never watched this before, we got an old goat figurine on the set here somewhere. Find that old goat figurine. comment below and we do a drawing every week where the old goat is, and you win some great Hoss merchandise. This week's winner is Roy Vestal.
Vestal. I think he's a preacher. I've seen him.
Really? Roy, orders. Send us your address in customserve@hosstools.com and we'll get you a wonderful Hoss merchandise set up. And we got something new that we've been doing for a couple weeks now. The great company, Monterey, has come together and working with us on a giveaway at the end of the show. And they're sponsoring this part here, which we're proud to work with there. So we've got a combination that we're going to send out. And then we have the Complete Disease Control, which is an organic disease control. We have horticultural oil, which is a good organic product there that kills those soft body insects. Hey, use this on your aphids right there. Mm-hmm. And then we've got a natural fertilizer, fish and guano, and the yellow sticky traps. Yellow sticky traps work good in the garden for monitoring or also catching and controlling some of those pests. So with those four things right here.
So last week we had you answer what was your favorite watermelon. Do you know what the most favorite response was? Sugar Baby.
Really? Mm-hmm. That is interesting to me.
Sugar Baby. So we did the random generator, and Connie Gant, Zone 9, her favorite watermelon was Crimson Sweet and Sugar Baby.
Wow, Crimson Sweet, I'll go with you on that
one. So Connie Gant, send us in an email to CustServe your shipping address, and we'll get your prize out to you.
And to enter you in for next week's drawing for this combination right here, why don't you put in the comments below how you like your okra prepared the best? And that could be pickling, frying, sauteing, hey, boiling.
Or maybe a new way.
Put in the comments below how you prefer your okra, and we'll put you in the drawing for the Monterey giveaway.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you, folks, for joining us. Hope you maybe got a little inspired there to grow okra. If you haven't, if you have been growing okra, you know the blessings this plant here can give you. So thank you very much for joining us. Now it's time for you to get dirty.